Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Franklin's Room. Today we're going to be in Ephesians 2. I'm really excited about today and to share with you what God has put on my heart for today, because I feel like this is the first episode where I'm really digging into the Word of God, and it's not so much an intentionally foundational thing. We're getting now into the meat of what God has put on my heart for Franklin's Room in the episodal ways, the things that are just going to keep going, right? And so this definitely is a foundational part of Franklin's Room. It is pertinent to the glory of God and why we exist, right? And so how could that not be at the center of what God has put on my heart and this ministry that I really believe in and want to start doing here? Let's read the passage, shall we? It's going to be Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10, all right? So today I'm going to be reading out of the NASB version of the Bible. Let's read Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Wow. All right. That's a lot of meat. I've actually heard a pastor preach through these verses before, and it took him like 3 or 4 weeks. So there's a lot to dig into here, but we're not going to do that. I don't anticipate that I will be long-winded, but there is some meat to get out of this in one episode. And if any person on the planet considered this passage and God opened their heart and they understood it, it would change everything about their life forever. And so if you're a follower of Jesus, even if you are a follower of Jesus currently, I plead with you to consider this passage in depths that you have not before. Or if you have and you know you have, and I'm saying what I'm saying right now, and you're like, I can't wait to hear what he has to say because I just love this passage no matter who's talking about it, then praise God, may our hearts rejoice together right now. Because I was crying thinking about sharing this, because it's just so exhilarating, the conclusions that come from this. Okay, the first statement that I want to make, the prerequisite statement to this text that I have, is escaping the self for the pleasure of self to the glory of God. Okay, remember that statement, the pursuit of maybe escaping the self for the pleasure of self to the glory of God, okay? So the first thing in this passage, we've got verses 1 through 3, and you were dead in your, and you were dead. This is Paul writing to the church in Ephesus, right? And he's saying, you, the reader, were dead. Franklin, you were dead. Samantha, Edwin, you were dead, right? In your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Who's the prince of the power of the air? That's Satan, right? Of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. That's us, and it's happening right now. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Okay, we cannot forget. Don't forget your death. That's the beginning of everything that's about to happen here. When you're trying to work out your existence, don't forget that either you were dead or you are still currently, right now, dead. Okay? I really want to look at this. This is a book, On the Road with St. Augustine. It's a collection of some of, some scholars who put together some of his works, and they just talk all about it. And here on page 65, all right, we just got two paragraphs. We're gonna read this, and it's so incredibly pertinent. Okay, escaping the self for the pleasure of self to the glory of God. Don't forget it. Remember it. Okay. What Augustine describes is the, quote, freedom of the addict, the habit that becomes a necessity, the sighing after an impossible freedom, the longing for a new will, the despair of ever overcoming it. Indeed, he goes on to draw a picture of someone who can't get out of bed, and it sounds a lot like an existential hangover. Quote, the burden of the world weighed me down with a sweet drowsiness such as commonly occurs during sleep, end quote. He felt like, quote, those who would like to get up but are overcome by deep sleep and sink back again, end quote. He hates himself for doing it, but at the same time, quote, he is glad to take a bit longer, quote. But then he realizes this isn't just laziness. It's a kind of involuntary paralysis, like waking up to find your limbs heavy, foreign, unresponsive to your wishes, unable to say what you want. Even your screaming is internal, and you wonder if someone will find you and deliver you from the tomb that is your bed. This is what the Fleet Foxes call helplessness blues. That's a band. To read Augustine in the 21st century is to gain a vantage point that makes all of our freedom look like addiction. When we imagine freedom only as negative freedom, freedom from constraint, hands-off liberty to choose what I want, then our so-called freedom is actually inclined to captivity. When freedom is mere voluntariness, without further orientation of our goals, I'm sorry, guys. Hey, listen. I have a major in writing, basically, and reading. And hey, even people with undergrad degrees, they mess up when they're reading, all right? So just have a little grace, okay? Thank you. When freedom is mere voluntariness without further orientation or goals, then my choice is just another means by which I'm trying to look for satisfaction. Insofar as I keep choosing to try to find that satisfaction in finite created things, whether it's sex or adoration or beauty or power, I'm going to be caught in a cycle where I'm more and more disappointed in those things and more dependent on those things. I keep choosing things with diminishing returns, and when that becomes habitual and eventually necessary, then I forfeit my ability to choose. The thing has me now. Wow. Okay. I'll say no more. I'll let that speak for itself. I think that was incredible. Let's move on. All right. And of course we'll come back, but collectively. So next we have verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, but God, right? Okay. So here we have a but. So we read verses 1 through 3, and then we come to verse 4 and we say, but, right? You were dead, but God, right? And so you see those t-shirts that everybody wears that say like, but God, comma, on them, right? And it's like, I was dead, but God, or this, but God. And it's all over scripture. We see these but God statements. And so here's one right here, verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us, verse 6, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We were dead, and for no other reason besides God has grace and he loves us. Now he's raised us up and seated us at his right hand. Okay, wow. Let's go read in Matthew 27, 27. We're going to read 10 verses. This is a big deal right here. Don't forget what Christ did. Don't forget the but God. We can read those three verses, but don't forget Matthew 27. Did you forget, Christian? Did you forget? Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole Roman cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and after twisting together a crown of his right hand, a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and they knelt down before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They spat on him and took the reed and began to beat him on the head. After they had mocked him, they took the scarlet robe off him and put his own garments back on him and led him away to crucify him. As they were coming out, they found a man of Cyrene named Simon, whom they pressed into service to bear his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they gave him wine to drink mixed with gall, and after tasting it, he was unwilling to drink. And that was supposed to be a numbing agent to help them with pain. And when they had crucified him, they divided up his garments among themselves by casting lots. And sitting down, they began, so now they're gambling over who gets to keep his clothes, began to keep watch over him there. And above his head, they put on the charge against him, because that's what they did when they crucified someone. They put a plaque above it and said, "Here's what happened, and this is why they're being killed right now, crucified. Fear ye, Jews, rebellers. Rome will destroy you for your wrongdoings, and will do it slowly on a piece of wood and some nails, like you're a plaque." And it read, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." At that time, two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right side and one on the left. Yeah, we don't need to keep going. All right? You were dead, but God. Don't forget Matthew 27, right? But God, even though you were dead and completely undeserving, okay, I'll move on to verse 7. "So that in the ages to come he might show..." Did you get it? At the beginning of verse 7, did you get it? So that... Did you know why God did it? So that... We're about to read it. "You, Franklin, were dead, but God came in, did Matthew 27... And here's why. "So that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." We have done nothing. There is no Hail Mary. There is no apology. There is no prayer. Well, there is no prayer. Hopefully there's prayer. Hopefully you can talk to God, repent, and from the genuineness of your heart, your faith is what makes you righteous, right? But that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship. Verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." All right. Don't forget, remember, escaping the self for the pleasure of self to the glory of God. All right. When it comes to remembering our death, in verses 1 through 3, remember, you were dead, Christian. Don't forget it. The goal isn't to show people freedom from sin. The goal is to show people freedom from self. right? When we're caught up in a sin and we're excited about it, right? Like my testimony, if you listen to the episodes prior to this, all I cared about for the longest time was sex, drugs, alcohol, and myself. And I cared about it. I wanted it. I enjoyed it. It was a thing to be indulged in. But until I gave it up and I said, God, whatever you want for your glory outside of myself, that's when I felt the freedom from myself. It was amazing. I cry all the time because I can't even explain and even bear to experience the joy that is inside of me that is submission to Christ, because it feels so, I feel free. I feel free. I don't feel free and alive like I thought that I was when I only cared about sex, drugs, alcohol, and myself. Some cultures know what sin implies. I think that ours only thinks it knows what sin implies. What sin is. What is sin? Growing up, I think in mission troop training, we were like, oh, sin is anything God doesn't like. Maybe, yeah, okay, God doesn't like it. It's sinful and it separates us from him. Yeah, I guess God doesn't like it. But that's not the point. The point isn't that God doesn't like it. Sin is sin because it separates us from God, right? Sin is sin. Yes, it separates us from God. Sin is sin because it's destroying us. It's killing us, okay? If we are sinning, we are pushing ourselves away from God and what God wants. And that's bad. But the point isn't that God doesn't like it. God doesn't like it because it's killing us. That's why God doesn't like it. Don't say sin is anything God doesn't like. Say sin is anything that's killing you, okay? It's, do you remember you were dead? It's because of sin. It's not because you were enjoying yourself. God wants you to enjoy yourself. Do you realize God created sex? God created partnership? God wants us to enjoy ourselves. And we think that we're enjoying ourselves when we're indulging in sex, drugs, alcohol. How about this? When we're indulging in gossip and exclusivism, when we're excited that we have a friend and we feel like we're in and affirmed because we're able to push people or keep people out of what we already have, that's killing you, Christian. There is so much joy to be had in open arms community and you know nothing about it because you're afraid of it. Maybe you've been pushed away and so you're afraid to accept because you don't want people to come in and push you out of what you already have. Well, it's killing you. You gotta let go of it, okay? And that's only one of many examples. We can sit here and say sex, drugs, and alcohol all day long, but the Bible Belt will be so excited about that because none of them are indulging in sex, drugs, and alcohol like maybe I was in high school or like the outcasts do when they come into church. But the Bible Belt's going to be excited about those being sins because they don't participate in them. And then they're going to think, oh, I'm so righteous. Like, I don't sin. You're sinning by showing up to Sunday school week after week and not sharing the gospel with anyone. That's sin. That's killing you. You're like a cup that's getting filled up and you're just more and more water, and you never pour it out for anyone. That's sinful. God hates it. And you're dulling yourself to the gospel. Okay. What is sin? Sin is something that's killing you and taking you back to when you were dead in verse 1. But God died for us. Everyone's heard that though. Everyone has heard that Christ died for us. Hey, Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Repent and be baptized. So what about it, right? Have I said that already? What about it? What about it? Who cares that Jesus died on the cross for my sins? Why should I care? All right? People need to hear that Christ died having never been a slave to self, and that's why it's so powerful. Okay? I don't know what else to say on that. We'll just keep going. I don't think I got this. God exists because we were dead. You were dead. but God, so that. Okay? Verse 1, you were dead. Verse 4, but God. Verse 7, so that. God did it. Why? So that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Jesus. That is why God did what he did, was to show off, was to glorify himself. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. So that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. God exists to glorify himself, and he does that through undeserved grace. And you know what? When we're trying to get rid of our slavery to ourselves, do you realize that if God exists for the glory of God, then we exist for the glory of God? And so the reason that I can sit there and cry my eyes out because I've never been so relieved to be a slave to Christ. That's Romans 6, I think. I've never been so relieved to be a slave to Christ and to glorify God with everything that I am is because God exists to glorify himself, and everything that he created was supposed to glorify him. If you go and you're an inventor and you make a pencil, but the pencil doesn't write, nor does the eraser get rid of anything, then you didn't make a pencil. You made nothing and no one cares. If a pencil is rendered useless, it is not glorifying its maker. And that pencil can go off and have sex and do drugs and listen to a sermon on Sundays and never share the gospel their entire lives, but they're good for nothing. Okay? The reason that it is so delightful to glorify God is because that's what God created us to do. He did not create us to go off and do what our flesh is begging us to indulge in. That is yourself seeking those things. And it is slavery at its best. All right. So that's what I have. I really hope that you got something out of that, that it was indulging for you to consider escaping yourself for the pleasure of yourself to the glory of God. I hope that that is forever what Franklin's Room proceeds to pursue. It will be forever what Franklin's Room proceeds to pursue. We need each other. We need each other to remind each other that we can't just sit in Sunday school and learn about the Bible and Jesus and not share it outside of church. I think biblically we see that the point of church, the gathering of the body, right, not the building is not the point, is to encourage one another as followers of Christ. Stop bringing your friends to church so that they can get saved. Bring them into your life so that they can see Jesus, okay? That's my commission for you. In the Bible Belt, we are taken over by Sunday school and attendance and check marks. Oh, I go on the mission trips and I go to Sunday school and I'm involved. Well, you haven't shared the gospel almost your entire life except for special occasions, all right? And it's disgusting. But I digress. I mean, that is absolutely a place to share the gospel in Sunday school and bringing your friends to the church building so that they can be around other people. Like, I'm not saying there's no reason for those things. I'm saying there are, in big ways, reasons that in the Bible Belt, everywhere, churches everywhere, we have to repent from some of these Bible Belt tendencies that we have. And that is our sin. That is what is separating us from God. It's not sex, drugs, and alcohol. We're actually pretty proud of ourselves for not indulging in sex, drugs, and alcohol. But we're full of sin because of these other things that are separating us from God that we don't even realize are sinful. I love you guys. Thanks so much for joining. Thanks so much for listening. I appreciate your support and your kindness thus far in my endeavor to get Franklin's Room going. Thanks, guys. See you next time.